Hi, Paul Sackett. It's fine. I'm speaking to Tina eBay. Hi, Tina. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you. So, Tina, you brought to my attention your concern for fires in California. And I am concerned about fires in California, and I guess the whole world is. And so you're not a government official. You're a citizen on Mother Earth. And I happen to know you for a long time, and you're extremely a concerned citizen about environmental issues and about the environment and peace and love, I'll say. Well, so first of all, thank you very much for doing the kind of work that you do.
Thank you.
Tell us about why this you're really stepping up in the sense of speaking to government officials and environmental officials. What's going on out there?
Actually, it's a really complicated response, Paul, and I'm not exactly sure how to respond. After many hours of prayer, I became very concerned. I was chanting about something very different, and I found myself thinking, my gosh, is there a way that these fires could be got under control faster? And so I began to talk to the men who are risking their lives, men and women, but many times it's really the men who are on the front lines risking their lives, to find out what kind of technical support they have to be able to target and find out when there's a fire. And what that means is live feed. We're sending rockets to circle the sun. We're doing all kinds of extraordinary technological advancements in terms of exploring the world, the universe. And what are they doing to actually get right in there and find out when there's a fire and be right on it and put it out? That said, I was really concerned not to sound over-assuming. Again, because it's just been a horrendous situation. So one thing led to another, which is I started with a local fire people and learned from them. They have three beautiful trucks. They have a wonderful station. But in fact, they get a call, and that's how they respond to fires. And the only technology, again, this is through interview. This is not a formal process. This is just talking with these guys. I realized that the only technology, according to the three gentlemen that I spoke with in the first station nearby, was that they have a kind of what you call a MAPS quest. In other words, they get a call, they jump in the truck, and then they track the travel to wherever the fire has been noted, and that's it. And I that sounded an alarm in me. I thought, gee, they should have live monitoring equipment so that they can actually check in advance and also be watching. And one thing led to another. I spoke with the governor's office and learned about Cal Fire, and then followed up with Cal Fire and spoke with the fire chief for Northern California, or at least one of them, from Monterey to the Oregon border. And again, one thing led to another where I would speak with someone and they would say, gee, our office would suggest this, for example, Cal Fire. And then when I spoke with, I had called the congresswoman's office, and they said this needs to be handled either through your local assembly member, through the Senate, or the governor's office. So that was actually how I became involved with these various offices. And at this point, my concern was how to move forward and who would be the right people to talk with about these kinds of concerns. And I have more information I'd be very happy to share with you, Paul, but I want to respond more to your questions.
Yeah, I think that the point here, Tina, is, you know, you're learning about your concern and those all around you. And I guess it's these things where we don't necessarily feel comfortable, especially if you hear that there's not really a super monitoring system. I just give a quick example of one thing that I learned about by making a TV show in Japan, a country of earthquakes, where they have nine or so scouting stations, and they drilled into Mother Earth to seismograph stations, I guess I think they call it, you know, and to see when an earthquake might occur. But the fires are, if there's no, and with even with Google Maps, and, you know, I mean, I'm no expert by any means, but you would think that we could become more sophisticated. I mean, but maybe if we're talking to the head of Cal Fire, is that the organization? Maybe they will say, "Well, we really are." I don't know, but I don't sense that you're getting a good feeling that we really are. And we're talking now. You're in Northern California, right? You're in the Silicon Valley area. You don't feel confidence, and that's scary, right?
That's a really good point, Paul. My concern is trying to get feedback about exactly what they do have. When I spoke with the chief from Northern California, he said that there is a software that they use called MODIS, and I couldn't tell from what I tried to research as to what MODIS is. I contacted Google, and the Google cultural climate in terms of business was such that there was no way for me to get information, and that's primarily, they said, because this is something that is free for people. Now, I may not have spoken with the right person, and also when I looked up MODIS, the only thing I could find, and again, unless this is something private, what I was trying to ascertain was whether this was live feed or a tracking system after the fact where they gather information like analytics. And the thing about it is that I couldn't get information, and the disconnect for me was that when the chief told me that that the turnaround time is about 90 minutes off of anything that they have that's technology. And that seemed way too long, because in 90 minutes, certainly any geographic area will go up. It'll be out of control. And, of course, depending upon the winds and depending upon the location. And so my concern was really to find out what kind of tracking they have. They also, the additional feedback I got from the guys, and I felt that they were trying to create teamwork. When you're in an emergency situation, you're glued to what's going on. There's a shared mind and heart and body space toward the goal of rescue and or toward the goal of solving the problem. And so my concern was, do they have the up-to-date tools, and what exactly do they have? And another thing that came up, it happened that I spoke with a friend who's an animator with Shrek. And here's someone who works very creatively with technology and is an outstanding artist. And he recommended a company, which, again, I also tried to look into, for surveillance. There should be a way of an immediate ping where they can even send out, it's not really reconnaissance, but say small planes or drones or something like this to get information. Everything that I got as feedback was binoculars or a camera on a local mountain. The big question is about MODIS. And again, the issue about what kind of tracking they do have available. But the teamwork should be, every station should have monitoring. Gosh, you go to people's houses and there are cameras showing who's at the door. When the camera that I'm speaking of here, when I asked the fireman about it, the fire person, what he said, and again, this is not extensive research on my part. It's thorough as a cursory first pass, but for something that might be coming up with a comprehensive answer, it's certainly not thorough enough. But what I asked was, is this enough for the geographic area? This is when he told me that there were three cameras in Santa Clara County on various mountains. And I said, well, what's the coverage in the geographic area? And is it enough? And he said no, or he didn't think so. So there just seemed, there seemed to be, that there should be more teamwork to support the men's ability to access and track what's going on, and be able to be on top of it. And again, I would want to research just in fact what they do have and what that means, because again, 90 minutes, there should be again follow-up immediate small plane access or something like this. I mean, there just needs to be something. And again, I don't know, because I'm just Jane Q. Citizen calling in trying to,
right. Trying to help. Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
Tina, so this is, you know, the bottom line details are, you know, are not really what we're looking for with good news broadcast here right now. But the real bigger picture for us right now to share with our audience is the good citizenship, okay? And I'm going to share, you know, some of your findings, your letter with the audience, and if that's okay with you.
Yes,
and some of what you're what you found is, as once again, not an employee of the state, and someone living in the local area. And this is the way that, you know, it reminds me what you remind me, and that's what I want to share with our audience. You know, you remind me, and you always have, because I know you a long time, of a Margaret Mead. And we have, you know, the quote here. Well, I'm right on the corner of the Museum of Natural History, and it's used to be the Margaret Mead Park. You know, what? Don't ever doubt that one concerned citizen can change the world. And so that's why we're doing our story and having our conversation this morning. And so I want to thank you for that, Tina. We'll put this up and share it. Let me ask two other questions of you, if that's okay, unless there's anything that you specifically want to say in addition, because I'm going to ask you, what does peace mean to you and what does love mean to you? Is there anything else you wanted to say before that?
No, thank you. I'm complimented. My dad used to make a similar comparison. That's very nice. Thank you.
Oh, good. Well, he sees what I see. All right. So, Tina, you know we're involved with World Peace and the International Day of Peace, and you've been involved with it as well. In fact, you were so kind to manage our and oversee our San Jose event with Amanda's Network, a young girl who took her life because she was bullied on Facebook to the degree that she couldn't handle it anymore. And so you've been a do-gooder for so long. So I'd like to ask you, Tina Bay, what does peace mean to you?
That is such a huge question. I guess the most immediate response that I might say is the happiness of each individual, because this is how we can cultivate peace. when you really have a happy heart, the endeavors on a daily basis, the friendships that you build, the determination to have cultural solidarity for community and safety. These are elements that make peace. They make a peaceful culture. That said, I also think that the vision and strength of youthful leadership to be sure that we have peace, the complications of the modern age are huge, the poisons are huge, and it really takes one mind, one heart, and as much strength of wisdom and compassion and capability in the leadership that will come forward to span to hold hands around the globe to really problem solve and find combined joys and combined vision to make peace. So I have the opportunity to see the efforts of Daisaku Ikeda, who writes a peace proposal to the United Nations every year, and I'll quote from the 2015 Vimalakirti Sutra that every person carries a bejeweled parasol, but when they span the heavens, it becomes a bejeweled canopy. And to me, that's the vision of peace.
Wow. You're unbelievable. Tina, thank you for that. Let me ask you one quick last question before I have to run actually to the next interview. And I know you have a whole peace agenda and a whole program you've supported and sent to one of the major universities out there that I'm praying will occur, because this is the kind of mindset our students really, really need. And since I've seen it, it's fantastic. In fact, I'd like to speak to you about that at another moment's question. What does love mean to you? We started a channel about love. What is love for Tina Ide?
Well, first, before to complete the point about the peace studies, I do have to compliment you, Paul, that you have been a major influence in my efforts. And so before I move on to speak about love, I would like to say that that's part of years of supportive friendship and the determination to create a compassionate world on your part. Love is a funny point because, you know, the ethos of an age, there's eros and there's pathos. I'm probably not pronouncing them correctly. But love has determination. I guess there are quotes. And again, my dad always talked about the kindness of love. Love is something that takes a lot of effort, actually. There's love that's spontaneous, where you just have an immediate affinity for something, and then there's love that is quiet. It's a bond that builds. It's a bond of compassion. It's a bond of vision. Again, it makes a canopy that spans the heavens, that's bejeweled. And so I actually think that love is, they say, you know, it's really the love that breaks the rules to make it so, and that makes new rules. So, new ways of holding things together, not rules that are rigorous or binding. So it's a huge challenge to make love, and I think for some people it comes more easily than others. But love is definitely something that makes life worth living.
Whoa. She's brilliant. Internally, externally, you're unbelievable. Tina Ide, thank you so much for sharing good news, love, and this concern citizenship for a big concern, fires in the California region. Take care. Look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thanks so much, Tina.
Thank you, Paul.